Back here on The Few, football every week, Ryan Curley.
Jackson Strickland. The main headlines you're going to see this week, NFL Combine.
Yeah.
So they just started some weights and measurements today. You might have seen Joe Burrow and Jake Fromm's hands compared, which is not something you'll typically see if you're just like a small college football fan. You'll wonder, why are they measuring their hands and what kind of a job that would be for somebody, but it's important, I guess.
I mean, they want to know, like can this – the thing about the measurements is watch the game tape. Just watch the game tape. You know, someone was concerned about Joe Burrow's hands being smaller than Tua's and Herbert's, and I was like, okay.
So, yeah, that's definitely limited him as to being like one of the best quarterbacks to ever come through the SEC.
Someone said, oh, well, the humidity in Cincinnati might be an issue for him. I was like, well, I don't think the humidity in the bayou was an issue for him, you know, since he threw for over 5,000 yards and 60 touchdowns this year. The whole measurement thing, they just do that for record purposes and just to kind of comparison with other prospects. Because obviously the physical tools are something that
we know Jake Fromm's hands are just big enough to twirl the football around before he lets himself get sacked instead of throwing it away. So that's important, I guess, for a quarterback with 8 7/8 inch hands.
8 7/8 inch, yeah.
So, 1/8 smaller than Joe Burrow, and then
about an inch smaller than Tua and Herbert. Which, I mean, I expected Herbert to have probably – if I, like, had to guess, it would have been Herbert. He's the biggest guy.
He's tall.
No word on Jordan Love or Jacob Eason. No one said anything about that, but I'm sure it's online somewhere. The combine will be interesting, and, you know, they're adding a bunch of new drills that, when we read them, didn't make sense.
Yeah, we're not exactly a football specialist, and I'm sure that some of these players are going into the combine saying,
probably don't know what that means.
What is this? And so, they're adding 16 new drills, and only, like, two or three of those are quarterback, and then, like, three or four will be running
back
drills.
Yeah, it's for different.
So it's not like every player has to do, like, 16 extra.
My question is, which I obviously didn't research, is are they cutting other drills, or are they just adding more? I'm not sure. Because obviously, you know, adding more drills is more risk of injury, takes more time, more money, all that kind of stuff. I'd be a little surprised if they didn't cut some old drills. I think it will be exciting. Like, I mean, I'm not going to have a lot of time to, like, watch it live, so I'm just going to look at, like, clips that are posted, obviously in my own research. But I think quarterback-wise,
I mean,
this is Jordan Love is going to – this is big for him. Jalen Hurts needs to make a splash.
Who do you think is going to surprise people the most?
Out of the quarterbacks?
I mean, you've got people that no one's talking about. Anthony Gordon threw for almost as many yards as Burrow, and he didn't play as many games because he didn't go, didn't go as far into the playoff and stuff like that. You got Shea Patterson, who's been at Michigan for a while, very experienced. And
Shea Patterson will probably look good at the combine just because of the talent he has and the physical abilities. He's someone that's going to probably look better at the combine than his college performance said he was, which could obviously help him jump a round or two in the draft.
Kelly Bryant, we know, was successful at Clemson. He transferred from there to Missouri and didn't have quite the year that he or anyone else was really expecting. I know he battled injury, didn't even play against the game, in the game against Georgia. And so if he's been working out well and he's recovered from injury, then maybe this is his chance to show a little bit more of what he was and still can be as opposed to what he was season.
The combine is important for these for the athletic the more athletic quarterbacks, the ones that take off more. Jalen Hurts, he's going to have to really show off his arm, though. This is a great chance to prove, like, your accuracy and everything.
How many fumbles do you expect from Jalen Hurts throughout the combine?
I don't know.
He definitely had the most fumbles out of any of these.
There's not going to be a lot of quarterback running drills in the combine.
It was a joke. It was definitely a joke. Cole McDonald is also a name that I've seen throughout the past couple of years, quarterback of Hawaii. but haven't seen a single thing leading up to the combine. So no, I don't know exactly.
I look at this list and I see like Steven Montez, like, oh, like I know who Steven Montez is, but I didn't hear a lot about him. Yeah. Brian Lewerke, you know, that's a interesting name that pops up. Quarterback wise, we're pretty set at who the top few quarterbacks
are. I mean, we know it's gonna be,
I don't think the combine's gonna change.
Burrow
much.
To Jordan Love, Herbert, Jake Fromm, although he wasn't seen as such a great quarterback at Georgia, even with some star receivers. I mean, look at his last performance. He and George Pickens connected for some record numbers in the Sugar Bowl, at least for Georgia. And so maybe he'll have a really good combine this week. And we say that as Georgia fans, a little hopeful. I don't exactly care where he goes, but I want to see him succeed. But even more exciting than the quarterbacks, I think it's going to be the most exciting part of this combine is these running backs.
The running back class is loaded this year, and it could have been even more loaded if Chuba Hubbard and Travis Etienne both decided to come out. Obviously, respect their decision to an extent.
Just some of these names, like I've heard of it. I mean, there's probably like 30 on here. I've heard of over half of these guys, maybe. And even just like AJ Dillon, obviously Boston College, he's their only player at this draft, and he's gonna shine really for his team. J.K. Dobbins from Ohio State. We know Ohio State lost a lot of players to the draft this year. Eno Benjamin.
There's a ton of guys. Even people
Cam
like
Akers.
Even people like Salvin Ahmed. Like everyone like knows. Not everyone. But, like, I mean, if you watch college football, you know who Salvin Ahmed is. Like, he was a great running back at Washington. Jonathan Taylor, one of the most productive college football running backs ever. DeAndre Swift, RBU. You know.
Michael Pirine, yeah. Florida.
Zach Moss, the most elusive back in the class. There's tons of guys. There's Brian Herrien, you know. Like, everyone knows who that is. Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
Yeah, Keyshawn
National
Vaughn from Vandy.
Rico Dowdle. It'll be a fun one. As far as, like, I don't know who the fastest one is. Like, I mean, I feel like it's not one
it's
of the big ones.
It's not
going to
be one of the big ones.
It's
no.
not. I think the person, if I had to pick.
I have a feeling Eno Benjamin is going to be up there.
Cam Akers is going to perform well, I think, at the combine.
I would like to see that. Florida State hasn't really had the best luck the past two
seasons.
Here's
the thing. Like, I look at a guy like Jonathan Taylor, and I think, I don't think this dude is going to blow up the combine. Like, he's not going to have something that's crazy, some crazy statistic or measurement. But how do you, you can't shy away from game speed and game film.
I don't know, I'm trying to think of a running back on here that's been praised for how well they've done, but also they don't have the team. Like, obviously, when you have Clyde, when you have DeAndre Swift, like, you have an offensive line, and you have
team
around
you.
You
can look
you
at a guy like Keyshawn
that's
going to
help you shine. But some of these names, yeah, Keyshawn Vaughn. Like, yeah. Name anyone else from Vanderbilt. It's a little bit harder to do that than obviously name a Georgia player or name a LSU player because they've had a lot of their teammates help them shine in team productivity. But Keyshawn Vaughn, when he can just be a star on an average or below average team with Vanderbilt and some of these others from, you know, Florida State and Arizona State, I think those players, when it's just themselves performing at the combine, they're going to be able to do really well. So I know you said Cam Akers. Eno Benjamin's a name I'm looking for. A.J. Dillon with Boston College. There's going to be some good ones up here.
Yeah, because I feel like a guy like, I mean, like Clyde Edwards-Helaire, you know? I mean, I don't think he's going to explode in the combine, but obviously the dude's NFL caliber, you know? Receivers is interesting because there's a lot of great. This is also a really loaded wide receiver class. This is going to be one of the best wide receiver classes of the last 20 years. Hot take. I don't even know if it's that hot because it's so loaded. I mean, you got guys like CeeDee Lamb, Jerry Jeudy, KJ Hamler from Penn State, KJ Hill from Ohio State, Justin Jefferson, Van Jefferson, like so many good receivers in this class. And I'm not even naming Henry Ruggs, Jalen Reagor, like there's so many guys. I'm really excited about this. Obviously, if I think the best combine performance is going to come from Henry Ruggs. Just the speed is going to be shown, the elusiveness is going to be shown. I'm very curious to know what CeeDee Lamb's 40 time is. Because as a lot of, like, obviously he gets a lot of yards after catch, but he kind of lacks that breakaway speed. So somebody I'm interested in is what's CeeDee Lamb's 40? Because I think it's going to be between 4.5 and 4.6.
I'm excited to see, like, T. Higgins. Gosh, there's so many.
Dude, there's so many.
Ruggs is going to be – he's probably the most talked about right now out of wide receivers.
Yeah, because he's going to blow them all away speed-wise.
Lawrence Cager, I know that he – shined this past year as a transfer.
This could be really big for him. The combine could be huge for a guy like Lawrence Cager.
Lynn Bowden, or Bowden, however way you say it, this is going to be a little bit of a change for him because obviously he started his career as a wide receiver, but was forced into being the quarterback for Kentucky.
Yeah.
And so him transferring back into a wide receiver role for the combine and going into the draft, in the rest of his career, this is going to be, I don't know if it'll be hard in a sense, but he's going to surprise some people because they haven't been able to see his wide receiver talents this year, at least. But he was definitely setting Kentucky records, with like quarterback rushing stats, et cetera, because, he's not your typical quarterback. He wasn't drafted. I mean, he wasn't recruited for that job. He was just, you know, stepped up when he had to. You got KJ Hill from Ohio State, T. Higgins, as I mentioned earlier. There's a lot of really good names in here, obviously. Tyler Johnson, Minnesota.
He's under the radar, but the dude's good.
Yeah, for sure.
There's a lot of guys in this.
Van Jefferson, did you mention him?
Yeah, I did. Lots of guys. Chenault from Colorado. Freddie Swain from Florida. He's going to be in the top five speed-wise.
Malcolm Perry from Navy.
The quarterback that's changing positions.
Right.
Something that Jalen Hurts refuses to do. Michael Pittman from USC. Yeah, there's a lot of great guys.
I've heard that name a lot this year.
It's going to be loaded. Obviously, now that I see Freddie Swain, he's going to be one of the top speed guys. That'll be interesting to see how fast he is compared to Henry Ruggs. I think Henry Ruggs is far and away, like, what everyone's opinion is, the fastest guy in the whole draft. Running backs, receivers, and defensive backs included. But out of all those names, the name that stood out the most to me, and I know, like, there's no bias here, but, like, being injured and only having one really good college season in limited time, Lawrence Cager, this is important for him.
No, it's definitely a time to shine. Everyone knows the name Lawrence Cager because, you know, just the pedestal that Georgia is on. And, you know, you might not know Isaiah Coulter from Rhode Island, who's, you know, one of these wide receivers that made his way into an invitation with the combine. But everyone's gonna know Lawrence Cager, but they might not put him up there.
The combine really is made more for the guys like him coming out of Rhode Island. You know, it's like, okay,
oh, for sure,
what is the other talent there? How do they stack up against these top guys? You know, that's what these scouts and these coaches are looking at.
Right. If they didn't have that team around them to shine enough.
Because they shined on their team, you know?
Exactly.
And the defensive side of the football, I think everyone's going to be a little disappointed. But Chase Young is probably not going to compete in any drills.
Right. It did come out earlier this morning. Or actually earlier this afternoon on Monday, that it wasn't expected he's going to go and compete, which, you know, you can't really blame him. But at the same time, like, obviously we're all going to be disappointed. He even missed a couple games this year because of that whole accepting free tickets for his girlfriend to fly the Rose Bowl. And so we just wanted another opportunity to be able to see him perform, especially against some of these other top names in the country.
Yeah, and I mean, on the defensive side of the ball, some of the guys like I'm curious about it. Derrick Brown, that's one of them. I'd love to see what his bench press is when they do the 225s. Raekwon Davis, a guy that was so highly touted and kind of fell off a lot of boards. This is time for him. Kinlaw is now all of a sudden is one of the top defensive linemen in the class. Guys like that. Linebackers, of course, the crown jewel this year is Isaiah Simmons. And this is a particularly weak linebacker class, in my opinion. I know Kenneth Murray, Patrick Queen. So there's a few guys, but I think overall this is
Michael Divinity.
Yeah, this is not the draft you look for, like, a stud linebacker, in my opinion. And some of these are edge rushers. Linebacker is kind of a generous term.
You know,
not true linebackers. Defensive backs.
There's some great defensive backs, though. Yeah, I mean, obviously you have Grant Delpit leading the way. J.R.
Reed's in there. Trayvon Diggs.
Lamar Jackson. Louisville quarterback. No, he's a defensive back for Nebraska.
I saw that.
C.J. Henderson, obviously, is a name to look out for Florida.
C.J. Henderson is actually, according to a lot of scouts, is the best cover guy out of all these corners. Like, just Christian Fulton should be on this list.
I'm going to talk about Clemson defensive backs. A.J. Terrell and Kayvon Wallace both going to go in there and perform really well.
Yeah. And everyone's forgetting about Antoine Winfield from Minnesota. I'm pretty sure he led college in interceptions last year. So, obviously, there's a lot of guys. And, you know, next week we'll kind of discuss some of the results.
We did skip through the tight ends. Yeah, we got some good
tight ends.
You got Thaddeus Moss, Cole Kmet. I mean, those are some names that maybe they weren't, like, the most
outstanding players on their team, the best one in this class.
And Albert O from Missouri. We know Missouri just had a struggle this year, and we predicted Albert O.
We did.
In August, when we started this whole podcast, predicted him to have a great season. And obviously, we also predicted Kelly Bryant to have a better season than he did. So when you don't have a star quarterback at the reins the entire season, then it's hard to shine as a tight end. So maybe Albert O will be have his opportunity this week to prove himself a little bit more than he was able to this past season.
Yeah.
So,
and I think this is a good offensive line class. Obviously, you got names like Andrew Thomas, Isaiah, three alone from Georgia, a couple from Michigan. There's a lot of good guys in this class. Jack Driscoll from Auburn. And, of course, I don't know how to pronounce this guy's name, but for Wisconsin, Wisconsin always has a great offensive line. So
Lloyd Cushenberry, one from LSU that I heard a lot, not just because they went far, but because he's a great player. Very talented. So
I think there's some good O-line, and this is a mixture of guards, centers, and tackles. So this isn't categorized, which I wish it was, but it is not. Anyways. We're going to transition in.
Yeah, that's most of the news you're going to be hearing this week.
This is more just kind of guys to look out for. We'll come back next week with some results and some who overperformed, who underperformed, that kind of thing.
Right, but our special thing, I guess you saw it in the title and maybe saw it on the Instagram, but our special announcement for this episode is that we have an exclusive interview with three-star recruit of the 2021 class, Christian Zachary.
Yeah, and he's a weak side defensive end, so here's our little interview with him.
Hey, is this Christian Zachary?
Oh, yes, sir, it is.
Hey, this is Ryan Curley and Jackson Strickland with The Few Podcasts. What's going on?
Good, man. Just came from school, man. Did some workouts in the morning, so I had a good day.
Yes, sir. That's good to hear. It's good to hear, man. Well, we just want to thank you so much, first of all, for doing this interview and getting it done so quickly, coming to us like this. So we really appreciate it, for sure.
No problem, man. Anything for the Seven Nation and anything for people that, try to help me out and getting out there. So.
But why don't you tell us a little bit about the Seven Nation and how that came about?
Oh, well, the Seven Nation, man, is an organization where, man, we glorify God in everything we do. We glorify Jesus in football, sports, music, all that, man. And it's just a movement to really have unashamed Christians and, to really, to put in the culture, because there's a lot of bad stuff in the culture that's not really good and not really positive. But, man, Seven Nation is a new, young thing, man, for, young adults, really anybody, man, who wants to gospel to be preached unashamedly, man. So that's what the Seven Nation is, man. And it's a movement, man, and it's gonna take over, man. So that's what that is.
Yeah, hey, it's good to hear that there's young people in the community that want to help out those around them.
Yes,
there's different outlets, whether it be sports, music, or what have you. And if you guys are listening, this is a three-star
defensive end from Carrollton High School, Christian Zachary, that we are talking to right now. And why don't you just kind of dive into your recruiting process, you know, when all of that really started for you, you know, who kind of offered you first and how that all began, how old were you, all that?
Okay, well, I was at Landmark Christian School. I came from Central Christian School, a very small school, about 100 people, probably in the whole school, which had an elementary, you know, high school and all that in one school. So, you know, wasn't really highly recruited in 10th grade. So it was my junior year in Landmark, and, you know, just played, I think, about 5 games. And App State was my first offer. I was so excited, man, and I was thrilled. So then, you know, a lot of other schools like Coastal Carolina, Boston College, and others, you know, started to come in. But none of the, like, you know, the Power Fives really, or the major Power Fives really came until I went to Carrollton. So I went to Carrollton, played in the Georgia League Classic game, and I think that game just had a lot of clout to it, man. Well, I could tell you about it. Well, you know, I was, like, kind of getting stressed out about all the, you know, the people that are going to be there, all the coaches, all the, you know, media. But, you know, I just was praying, man, and God told me, man, just glorify him. And I feel like that really gave me a peace about it, and it just made me, you know, go off, man, and just get, like, so many sacks, so much TFLs. I was going crazy. So ever since then, man, Tennessee offered, and then the gates, the floodgates opened, man, and just a lot of these schools started to offer, like Florida, you know, Georgia, Colorado, Virginia Tech. Just a lot of other schools just started to really come out of the woodworks, man. So it was just great, man. God is so good, man. And, you know, this is just the first chapter. You know, there's a lot of more chapters to being wrote, man, and a lot of more stuff that I'm trying to get into. And I'm just thankful to God about that, man.
Yeah, that's awesome to hear. We're definitely loving that you're getting all these offers in just in the past 2 or 3 months. Like you're saying, since that Georgia League Classic game, can you tell us a little bit more about that game and what it meant to get the MVP of the junior game and maybe some of the people you went up against?
Oh, okay. Yeah, I could do that. Well, you know, it was a fun experience. You know, we started practicing first and, you know, just getting used to it, you know, just, you know, we had some very good coaches, actually. And, you know, I kind of bonded with the, you know, the kids a little bit. But I got really, so then we had practice with other, you know, teams. So we practiced with other teams, and, man, I just went off in practice, man, and that really gave a look on the coaches, and you know the players started to, like, you know, really see it. So it's like, you know, when you preach, you know, I don't know how to explain it. It's like when you preach, like, they like to see somebody that's successful in doing something, you know, especially young kids. They really want to see, like, if you're being successful, they're willing to preach. So When I went off in practice, man, able to lead the team more and, like, preach the gospel and talk about a lot of things about Jesus and how, you know, you have to have faith instead of looking at the physical, because, you know, I believe I don't really serve a realistic God. I serve an unrealistic God that can do unrealistic things that the world doesn't see possible, but, hey, I'm doing it. So that's what I believe, and that's why I was trying to tell everybody else that, you know, it didn't look like, you know, I was going to get offers because I was at a small little school. But guess what? I serve an unrealistic God, and all these offers are coming up, and all this stuff is going on. So, you know, just, you know, that's what I really wanted to get to the kids, man. And that gave me confidence in more of my game, like, as time went on. So it was like preaching and football, like, you know, the same thing with it. So I followed a couple people on Twitter, kids there, you know, just had a good talk, man. We built a relationship for real, and, yeah, man, so it was awesome.
Would you consider that game a turning point for your football career, or just the next step?
Yes, sir. It was definitely a turning point, man. I knew I had the talent, I had the faith, but this really was one of those things that, you know, God set in my path to, like, blow me up a lot. So this game did really blow me up. I met Rusty Manziel, really good guy, just shouted me out and said, you know, he's a really good ball player. And, you know, really, you know, the odds were still against me even when I went out the game, because we actually did not win the game. Our side did not win the game. So, you know, it was kind of weird that even though we lost the game, I still got the MVP. You know, so that was just, you know, again, that's another thing, man. So it was just awesome. So it was it really taught me a lesson about life, and it taught me a lesson or really showcased what I could do to the coaches and stuff. So, you know, I had to come by faith. It has to come by, you know, me believing it in the spiritual realm before it manifested in the physical realm. So that's what happened there. So I was just really happy about everything there. The coaches really believed in me. They actually made me one of the captains. So I was really excited about that. So, yeah, it was an awesome experience, man.
Yeah, it seems like a great opportunity to get out there. And obviously it worked for you. You put your grind in, and you definitely are reaping the benefits now, getting so many offers from some great schools, not just small D1, but also Power 5, like you're saying. So speaking of all these coaches and these offers, do you have any specific coach that you've built a greater relationship with, someone that you talk to on a weekly basis?
Oh, yes, I do. Coach Maverick of Colorado. He's the DC, and he's just really he's really on me and talks about a lot of different things, man, other than football. Like, he was one of the first ones to really talk about different type of things, like, to me. You know, we'll talk about pass rush too, you know, football too, but he would talk to me on a spiritual level as well. So I really like that, Coach Maverick. Also, Coach Cook from Florida. You know, we really talk about a lot of defensive schemes, different stuff like that. We talked about church a little bit too. And also Tennessee, really their whole staff. The whole staff at Tennessee is really close to me, and I really like that too. And, yeah, Coach Delaney as well. We kept a good relationship too, so it's just a lot.
That's really awesome to hear, man. So about this, like, recruiting process, what other recruits and players throughout the nation have you gotten to know just through the recruiting process?
Well, oh, I think his name is Silverback on Instagram. I don't know his real name, though. But he's a very good O-lineman, man. We went against each other in the camp, man, last year. So it was we battled it out and everything like that. And we had fun, and we gave each other, like, good competition. So, you know, when somebody gives you, you know, they're all in a competition, man, you're never going to really, like, forget that person, man. But, you know, if there's somebody just, you know, doesn't really care, you're not going to remember them. So I remember Silverback from, that camp, Elite Classic Showcase, Elite Georgia Showcase. That's what it was. Also, Chief Malik, he's also a very big-time recruit as well. And, you know, we have a good relationship as well. You know, we try to get each other better. And, yeah, he's an awesome guy, man, loves the Lord. So he was awesome, too. So I met a couple. I'm trying to think if I met any running backs or stuff. Oh, yeah. Christian Lett, man. When I tell you this man is a monster, bro, this man is serious, man. He doesn't have any offers right now. But, man, this guy is crazy, bro. You know, he just got, you know, one of the MVPs for the Cam Newton camp or something like that. And, man, this man is a monster. But he doesn't have any offers. He's like 6 foot, like 190 pounds. So he's a pretty big running back. So, he's quick and fast and everything like that. So, yeah, that's a buddy, man. So I met him kind of in recruiting as well. So, yes, sir.
Yeah, that's good to hear. We really like just to hear about the relationships and between players, between recruits coming up in this process, because we know how stressful it can be for a too young player to make these big decisions, and so it's great to hear that y'all got to meet each other and also just help each other out through this process.
Oh, yeah, yes, sir. Yeah, it can sometimes be stressful, but, you know, I'm just thankful, man, for real.
So, you know, throughout the recruitment process, you know, obviously you're getting offers from all these big schools and small schools, and that's a blessing and all. What do you think makes you unique as a player and a person throughout the process? Why do teams and coaches need to come after you?
Well, the thing is, I'm a very talented person, but my power doesn't really come from myself. It comes from God, and I believe that I can access that power on the field. There's a lot of, you know, people that, you know, do believe in God, but they don't believe that God can help them on the field and do supernatural things. So I feel not only do I have supernatural abilities, but I bring the leadership and the, you know, being a good person on and off the field. And not just being a good person on and off the field, but helping people and being a leader to other people that don't play football. Because, I mean, you can be a good person and not say anything at all, but are you going to be a leader to people that are dominant on the football team and need to be led to a good path? So that's what I bring to the table. Not only am I lead, you know, the people on my team, but I lead other people to go in their talents, go in their gifts, go hard in what they got to do, go hard in what God gave them. So I feel like that's what makes me unique, you know, that God's given me supernatural ability and I access even more supernatural ability from, you know, my relationship with God, and I'm a leader on and off the field, and, you know, I feel like I'm very passionate about what I believe in, because there's some, you know, to be honest, there's some people that are not as passionate or not passionate about football, but I feel like, you know, football can be a platform for preaching the gospel, so that's why I play football. So other people don't really have that. They just play football because, you know, it's fun, but I play football because I know how much people can touch, how much souls that can be, you know, affected by my message playing football and glorifying him in it. So that's what makes me different, I believe.
Yeah, it's definitely important to be a leader. And as you said, the off-the-field aspect, too, is something that coaches definitely look into when recruiting players. And that's something that I'm sure they love about you and, you know, how you affect other people around you. And, you know, I'm sure you're a role model to plenty of people, but is there any player or person that you've looked up to, you know, throughout your growth and your football career that has kind of helped you become who you want to be today?
Okay. Yes, sir, I do. His name is Ray Lewis. Ray Lewis, man. He really, you know, when I was a kid, man, I was just, like, looking at how passionate he was and, like, you know, how much he was, like, a leader, man. And I really liked that out of him, how, like, charismatic he is. I just love the way he played, man. Love the way he grinded, he motivates. He's a motivational speaker now, so he's doing his passion and he's doing his purpose. So that's what I'm trying to do too. So I really look up to him as a football player, as a person.
Yeah, he was definitely a fiery competitor, and you talk about how, you know, he's a motivational speaker now. We were actually going to ask you, you know, after college and your playing days, are you wanting to go pro, or do you have another path in mind?
Oh, no. I want to go pro. I want to go pro for sure. I am going to go pro. So that's the plan. And also, I want to build my church, build the brand, a lot of other things, like a lot of entrepreneurs. Ship stuff, a lot of stuff like that. Start my own business, things like that, just to give back to people and give, you know, like that. So that's what I'm trying to do after, you know, college and everything. Well, not after college, after I play in the NFL. That's what I want to do.
Yeah,
that's great to hear, and we're definitely here to watch this journey. I can't wait to see it. I know you're not even decided on a college yet, but the fact that you already have some good plans for after that huge journey, it's so good to hear. And we know that it's just gonna be a great journey to be able to watch.
Hey, thank you.
Yeah, I know your recruitment process is still open and everything, but, you know, what are some of the top schools you're looking at right now?
Well, I don't really have a top school, but, I mean, I like a lot of stuff that these schools have right now, but I just haven't really, you know, made that, you know, no, yes decision yet, so I don't really have one right now.
Gotcha. And, you know, you need to take a slow approach to it because you want to land in the right situation with the right coaches and the right teammates. Obviously, there's no rush, and you're still a junior, so you got about another year to decide.
Yep.
But
growing up watching football, you said you were a fan of Ray Lewis. Were you a fan of any specific college? And does that enter your process at all when trying to decide a school?
Well, no, I never really had a favorite college. I really never had a favorite college or anything like that. But I mean, I am from Georgia, and you know UGA. So I do like UGA a lot. But to be honest, I'm not gonna really let that affect my decision because I know that there's more to school or more than playing for a college than just being from your hometown. So that's just how I feel about it.
That's a good way to look at it. There's definitely some players that just go towards more of what they liked as a kid, and they don't look at the full aspect. And so it's really wise of you to look at every aspect when you're deciding the school that you should be at the next 3 to 4 years.
Yes, sir. Exactly.
You know, what are you looking forward to?
Well, I'm really looking, like, because, yeah, a lot of recruits just look at the football team. They don't really look at the school itself. So that's what I'm doing. I'm looking at what they have at the school, what they're involved in, what's their interest in, as like the fall as just the whole college. And also how willing the coaching staff is to work with you and make you better. Because, I mean, if you go to a college that doesn't really, like, kind of glosses over you, you know, that's not going to make you better. That's just going to make you, an average player. But I want to be where I'm coached up for real, pushed, and, like, that's where I want to go.
For sure.
Okay.
Hey, we just want to thank you again. We don't have that much for you, but definitely enjoyed talking with you, and we hope to talk with you in the future. More as your recruiting process is. We'll definitely try to keep in touch with you. We wish you the best of luck. Thank you for taking time out of your day.
You too.
Thanks for letting me be a part of 7 Nation, dude.
Yes, sir, man. Purpose fulfilled, man. Let's go.
Yes, sir.
All right. Take care, Christian.
All right. Yes, sir. Thank you.
So that was our interview with Christian Zachary, and we really enjoyed talking to him.
Yeah,
I think
right.
He's a bright young man.
Definitely a smart, wise kid. Looking at some of these great offers he's got just in the past 2 months. Since that Georgia League Classic game he was talking about, that was just right before New Year's. And he ended up getting, in the junior game, he got the MVP award.
Yeah.
And he mentioned that like his team didn't even win, and he still got voted most valuable player.
And that's you obviously have to have a pretty great performance for that to happen.
Oh,
so.
Absolutely. So congrats to him on that. And not only that, but the D1 offers he's pulling in, the Power 5. He's talking about Tennessee, Georgia, Oklahoma, Colorado, Florida, just to name a few. Those are amazing schools to be looking at him. And so congratulations, Christian, and thank you so much for that interview again, like we said.
Yeah, I think the thing I like most about him is how he said he needs to be a leader, not just on the field, but off the field. And I think that's going to go a long way for him.
Yeah, obviously.
Not something you hear out of a lot of young men like that, because he's, what, like 16, 17 years old, so.
Right. Obviously, his faith is a huge part of what makes him on and off the field, like you said. And so it's great to hear something like that out of a kid. Just looking ahead to, not only college, but looking at what he wants to do after college. And mentioned being an entrepreneur and starting his own business and just helping out people. And so we're really glad we got the interview to talk with Christian, and really appreciate each of y'all listening to that interview and the rest of this episode. I think that's about all that we have for this week, but obviously stay tuned on the Instagram We're going to be posting plenty from the combine.
Yeah, I'm sure there'll be some videos and everything because everyone's going to try to break records. But other than that, we'll catch you guys next week.